Hi, my name is Megan Coons, and today I'll be interviewing my grandmother, Frances McDonald. Okay, to start, we can ask when and where were you born?
I was born in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, September the 14th, 1919, and I'm 98 years old.
Okay. Tell me about your parents. Like, where were they from? And
my parents were from Poland. And they immigrated to the United States in America, the early part of, or no, the late part of the 19th century. And my mother and father came separately, and they met in the hometown of Pennsylvania, Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, and they married. And they had five children. Three girls and two boys. Okay, now.
Where did your parents grow up?
My parents grew up in Poland. My mother was about 18 years old when she immigrated to the United States. She, all by herself, she only spoke Polish. She wanted to leave the country, because the Russians were controlling Poland, and they would not allow her to go to school. The first grade, parents bought her the school, her books, and she went to school. And the Russian people said, we don't allow Polish children to school. So my mother had no education whatsoever. My father escaped that because, at an early age, his mother died, and his father moved to Russia. And my father had some education, and he worked in a printing shop in Russia. And at that time, Russia was in revolution stage, and it was very dangerous working as a writer and publisher, and if they wrote anything that was detrimental to the czar, they would kill him. And one day a man told my father about America, and he says, if that is so good, he says, I'm coming. So he came too to America and landed in New York. Both of them spoke little or no English. And how they got to Pennsylvania, I have no idea. Communication was so limited. I mean, it was nothing. How my mother and father got there, I don't know. It's a miracle.
Tell me about your childhood.
My childhood was the most happy childhood a child could have. We were given a lot of freedom. And I can remember so many happy times in the summertime. We would walk 2.5 miles to this creek and swim all afternoon, and then come home, eat supper, wash the dishes, and go for another walk. In the wintertime, we went ice skating. It was about maybe 3 miles up the mountain and down the hill to this pond, and we'd skate all afternoon. And I had a lot of friends. I was a happy child, and I laughed all the time. It was great.
And growing up during the Great Depression, how were your
family
able to manage?
Oh, the Great Depression. The Great Depression was 10 years. Everybody was poor. But we didn't know that we were poor because we were having too much fun doing a lot of things. If we wanted something, for instance, there were no bikes, bicycles, never to be seen. And if we wanted a fly kite, we'd make a kite. If we wanted a scooter, We'd get some roller skates and a board and make a scooter. We made everything. If we in my senior year of school, at the prom, we had to go to prom, and I had to have a gown, and there was no money to buy a gown. So my sister looked around her friends, and she found a beautiful red evening gown, and that's what I wore. And I had a lot of fun.
A lot of fun?
Yes, oh yeah. And all our clothes, no clothes were store bought. My mother would buy some material, and she'd make us all our clothes. Even our underwear and our nightgowns and our school clothes she made. I can remember one morning, just before I went to school, I needed a petticoat, and she made a petticoat before I went to school.
Just like that.
Just like that, yes. It was such a happy. My parents were the two of the happiest people in this world. They work very, very hard. My father, during the Depression, it was lasted 10 years. And there was no work to be found. My father was fortunate enough to work for the coal company. Mm-hmm. And they didn't work all the time. If they got a coal order, then the company would work. And my father made $5.05 a day. And that if you worked 5 days, you'd make $25 a week. And the way we did it is my father, in the summertime, planted a garden in it right behind our house. And then the city loaned land to people so they could plant their vegetables about 2 miles from the house. So he would walk up there and have a garden. And the way I said, well, what did you do with your tools? He says, oh, I built a ditch and put them in the ditch and covered them with leaves. And my mother canned all of summer food that she could, and we did all our cooking. There was no restaurants in our town. There was one hamburger place, and we never visited it because we never had
the money.
The money, yes. And there were three movies, houses in Nanticoke, and the one cost 10 cents, and the other one was 15 cents. And we would do chores for the neighbors and get 10 cents. Or on Saturday morning, the rag man would come.
The rag man?
Yeah,
that?
A rag man was the one who collected junk, or usable junk. And he would give you 10 cents for something. And that's how we earned our money. We did chores for the neighbors and the rag man. And it was, that's how we got, because my parents, just 10 cents was 10 cents. And that's a lot of money.
Yeah. It was very different back then.
My mother was an excellent cook. And my father, besides working in the car shop, he worked in a car shop. And we used to tease my father, my two brothers and I. We used to say, our father who works in a car shop, and laugh. And my mother and father said, you children stop laughing so much. But my two brothers and I would just laugh a whole lot more. It was happy life, a good life. Like I said, nobody realized we were poor. All of us were poor. Nobody. I graduated from high school in 1939, And it was I went to a business school and learned how to type and did shorthand, but that didn't help because nobody was hiring anybody. And I'd even volunteer and do work all day and I'd never get a dime. And maybe a thank you, maybe. That for 2 years, after graduating from high school, I decided that it was hopeless trying to get a job. So with a very little money and no friends, no knowledge of anything, and I moved to Washington, D.C. And in the middle of the night, I got on a bus to Washington, got there in the morning, and I went to this Young Women's Christian Association home, like a little restaurant. I mean, a boarding house.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could stay there a couple of weeks until you got settled. So I went to the Young Christian Association, and the next morning I got up and got a job right away.
As what?
As a secretary.
Ah.
And I worked at various places that needed a temporary secretary.
Mm.
Hotels, business people, and that's how I made my living. Mm. And then I met my husband.
I was just about to ask you about that.
Yeah. He was a soldier at Fort Myer, Virginia. He walked the tomb of the unknown soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a private. And he was born in Covington, Virginia. He was tall, blonde hair, a great big smile. He was another person that liked to smile like me. And so we smiled a lot. And we had the best time. And we'd walk around Haynes Point in Virginia around the river and then come back to this grocery store and get something to snack and sit on the porch where I lived. And that was our night. And then World War II came.
How did you feel when he went off to World War II?
How did you feel? Nothing. You know, he had to go. So he was a first sergeant in World War II, and he was there a whole year from the beach of Omaha to near the gates of Berlin, and he was offered officers. He was first sergeant. As I said, he had a company of men that he was head of this company, and they offered him a officer's badge. He said, "No," he said, "I don't want to leave my men. I stay as an enlisted man." And after World War II, he came back to Pennsylvania, and I was staying while he was gone. And then we moved to Alexandria, Virginia, and started, he quit the army and started a civilian life. And it was a difficult time, too. Jobs were not that scarce. Plentiful. And by that time I had two children. The second girl, she got inoculation her arm was infected. And I said, "Well, we're having a rough time. I think it would be best that you go back into this army." And that's what we did. And we moved to Fort Benning, Georgia, and he was a teacher at Fort shortbreading. And he was starting his college degree, and he got a degree. And that's it right now. So, and then we moved to Puerto Rico for 3 years. The children loved it there, the two girls. It was really, really wonderful for them. The climate was nice, and it was a happy place. And
sounds like you really had a fun time.
We had a fun time. And then my son was born there, and I had two girls and a boy, and we moved back to the United States and stationed in Maryland. And
do you remember what base?
Huh?
Do you remember what base?
Yeah, Aberdeen Pool.
Oh, Aberdeen, okay.
And then he retired.
He retired.
Yeah. And my original family was two brothers and two sisters. And I used to laugh because my two sisters, my mother was so limited in the ways and doings of the United States. She didn't know, she couldn't communicate too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so my two sisters took over from what my mother couldn't do. And I used to say to my sisters that you were my two mothers. So I really had three mothers, and I loved every bit of it.
Mm.
And they were wonderful sisters. We had a wonderful family life. We had my mother was a good cook. My father was a hard worker. My father had a good sense of humor, and my mother had a good sense of humor. And they laughed all the time. And we children would sit there and listen to them laughing and telling jokes and telling funny stories. It was happy. It was a good life.
Mm-hmm. So backing up, you mentioned that Grandpa did fight in the Korean War.
Oh, yeah, the Korean War.
How did you feel knowing
I forgot to tell you about the Korean War.
How did you feel knowing that he's going off to war for the second time, risking his life for the United
States? It was pretty bad. It was rough. But and he told me, he was an officer at that time, he said the Korean War was worse than World War II. And I said, I can't believe it. He said, believe it. He says, in 1950, the Chinese came from North Korea
mm-hmm.
into South Korea, or coming in, Chinese and the Koreans, and they were blowing their bugles and marching and coming in, and American troops were shooting their guns. They shot so much and so long, and the guns gave out, so they had to jump ship and go back to where they started
mm-hmm.
at the tip of Korea. It was really hard.
Especially as a mother raising...
What?
Especially as a mother raising Kit, raising kids all on her own.
Yeah. Well,
how were you able to manage that? Especially...
How did we manage that? We lived off base. Because you couldn't live on base when your husband was away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we... In the morning, children would... go out and play. I did my chores. In the afternoon, we'd go to the pool, go swimming in the summertime. And at night, we'd go to the chapel and say prayers and then go to the movies. And that's how we made it.
Okay.
And they came home safely after 2 hours.
Why do you think that?
Huh?
Why do you think he came home safely each time?
Well, he wasn't killed. Yes.
Yeah, I know that, Grandma. Would your faith also be a part of that?
My faith, yes.
Yeah.
It's great, and it's still great. In Thanksgiving, yes. It's greater than ever. You have so much to be thankful for. And so, yeah, my gracious, help us survive and live a normal, happy life. And my three children, all four children had a college education. Susan, the oldest, was a teacher. Donna was a nurse. And Andrew was a chef. He was in the Army, too. And Maria was a journalist major. That's it. All four children got their education. And he retired after a while. He worked as in the civil service. And then he retired from that. And then we had a motorhome and we toured the country and the world.
Oh, really?
United States, we went everywhere. And on space available, we flew all over Europe.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was very nice because we would go to this certain city, I forgot the name of it, and we'd apply for a passage to Europe, $10 $10 each for us to fly to Europe and $10 to fly back.
During your time in Europe, were you ever able to go back to Poland?
No, I never did. And my mother never spoke too much about Poland. My father did a little bit, but they were too busy. They were doing so much. They loved the country. They added much to it. My father was a hard worker. My mother was a hard worker. Happy people. That's it.
Well, thank you, Grandma. I really appreciate it.
Okay, can I hear it?